More and more people are becoming conscious that we need to live our lives differently for ourselves and for the planet.
Feeling the need to reconnect and discover more about our true selves and the world around us. In the House of Essence podcast, we dive into topics that nourish body, mind, soul, and the planet. We are Romy and Michelle.
And with each episode, we hope to inspire you and guide you on your path to a more conscious and sustainable life.
Hello, welcome to another podcast of House of Essence. Romy and I had a talk with Naomi van Rey. She's an energetic healer, and we talked about basically everything that has to do with energy. And next to that, also about how she sees health. And we also shared something about our own experience with Naomi. I talked about my experience with my healing from a distance. Maybe you can share a little bit, Romy, about the experience with your healing.
I find it fascinating, the work that Naomi does. I still cannot grasp what happens when you're on the table with her. And indeed, in the podcast, people will hear a bit more about your healing from a distance, which is, I think, even more amazing. But I experienced one while I was actually at her house. It's such an holistic experience, and it's difficult to describe if you haven't experienced a healing yourself before. But what stood out for me is that while I was with Naomi, I went even back to a past life. So we were clearing away energies. I didn't have a particular question when I came to Naomi. But while we were talking, something came up that was like, oh, I would actually like to work through this. Something that, you know, is part of me, but that I would like to do some releasing on. And that resulted in me actually going back to a former life as well.
Oh, wow.
And it's, yeah, and it's amazing how a past life can have such an influence on you today without you knowing. And by going back there, I learned a few things where I was like, oh, it's not always about me in this physical body and in this life. It can also have something to do with the energies that I carry with me from previous lives, and but also from ancestors or just other influences. Overall, the experience was really relaxing and very special. I remember also traveling into the universe a bit, where I was like, wow, I haven't never seen these parts of whatever the bigger world is out there. And at the same time, afterwards, I felt really tired because there's so much happening and so much detoxing and clearing going on in your body.
Yeah, and shifting also.
Yeah definitely. And I love that we did this more in-depth interview with Naomi about what she does, because she does so many different things and she knows so many things. Indeed, as you mentioned, about Reiki, about holistic health in general. I love how she also gives her view on the coronavirus, and a bit of a different view than we hear in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it. Was there something in the conversation with Naomi that stood out for you?
I think the part that she's on her own path of learning and discovering more and more, and also sharing that so gracefully and even so inspiring, that I'm also like, that is how a real teacher is for me. Like, she's still learning, and by that inspiring others, just walking her purest path. But also the vulnerability about her path in this, and because it's not for everyone, like working with energy and talking about ancestors, and I found it also kind of down to earth talking about spiritual stuff, and I loved that. Yeah
It's sort of magic wrapped into this very grounded person. I think if you're interested in what healing entails and what is actually being done in such a session, and maybe you've experienced it or maybe you haven't, then this is a very interesting podcast to listen to. So let's do that. Enjoy.
I'm a Scorpio, so that's all about death and rebirth. So I don't know, I had this weird youth where the father of my boyfriend when I was 15 committed suicide, and in the same month my best friend, a friend of his, committed suicide as well. So when I was 15, I had this very weird year in high school where there was also another guy at our school who committed suicide. It was like a whole suicide year, which was really, really dark. And then later on, when I had another boyfriend, 2 years later, his mother committed suicide. So there was a lot of souls wanting to step out of life when I was young. That makes you think, right? And also thinking about why do we come here and why does someone want to leave? But especially now during this whole corona thing, I see this tendency that we don't have a conversation around that anymore, because we can save all these lives because of regular Western, not Western, that's the different approach, but let's call it regular medicine. Because we can save people's life, but does it mean we have to? Can we, my question is basically, can we die normally? Can we just die normally?
What is dying normally then to you?
When I'm 80, sick already, taking medicine already, sitting in this hospice for older people already, and I look at my, if I think about my grandfather spending 6 years of his life saying, I miss grandma, I want to be with her, I don't want to be here anymore. I think he would have signed up.
To die.
To die and to see us taking the risk about getting the virus. But also, of course, it's for every situation and for every person. It's different for everyone. But because these kind of topics are like so precare,
yeah,
people get emotional and they are not comfortable about saying what they feel or what they think, because we are just like whole tied up about we all should live. But what does that mean? What does it mean when we say we all should live? And we don't, and we can't have the conversation about, okay, but what is dying? And what is dying in a good way? How does that look like? How does one die well? I think that's a really important question to ask, because it's...
But I also think the other question is what it means to be human, or what it means to live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're so afraid to die. So what is it that we're so afraid of, but also... what is it also we're afraid to live sometimes?
Exactly, that's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, because it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the thing that we see most now, not only the fear of dying, but actually this fear that lies underneath, the fear of living, because yeah, we're actually being suppressed slightly in mm-hmm. living the lives as we were used to do, but also questioning now, okay, the way we used to live our lives, is that the way to live life fully? How do you look at that?
For me, nothing has changed. So that's really funny. The thing that has changed is that I don't have certain freedom anymore. And what has changed is that there was this whole like witch hunt on naturopathic and alternative medicine, which I looked at first in America and afterwards in Europe. And which I think is a really strange thing, because the people mostly are, how do you say that? Going more towards that direction.
You mean alternative medicine?
Yeah. So it's really interesting to see that when this whole thing happens, it's suppressed again. And I'm not saying that it's a government thing or a media thing, or I don't believe in stuff like that, because I study journalism as well. And it's not that there are journalists behind a desk office and saying, okay, we are going to withhold information today. That's not what happens. It's just a systematically cultural thing. But I think people will find out again, because right now with this virus there is a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, maybe it's nice to do an introduction in general. Yeah. Who you are and what you do.
So my name is Naomi. I work as a naturopathic practitioner, or healer is the English term for it. And in Dutch, I translate it to like holistic energetic practitioner. And for me, working in a holistic way means looking at all the different levels from being human. So what does the emotion, how does it connect it to how are you being at work or feeling about your relationship, or what are you eating during the day, but also putting the human in the perspective of their youth, from basically the moment when the conception took place towards now. Because in Chinese medicine, which I work with, is very important. How was your pregnancy, of your mother's pregnancy, and what happened during that time? So some children who are born with eczema, we can learn a lot from what was the diet from their mother. I had one client who gave breastfeeding to their child, and the child couldn't bear animal products. So that's super interesting, right?
Because she, why would that
she
be
was
then?
Eating meat and cheese, and but the child couldn't bear it. So in the milk, it was giving to the child. And then he got the eczema.
Yeah, it's interesting actually, because I just went over this whole, what was my mother's pregnancy like and how did that affect me? And I actually have an allergy for cow milk. And the one thing my mother drank so much while she was pregnant of me was cow milk. So much, she was craving it constantly, but I've never been able to bear it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, super interesting. But I'm curious to hear, because you say, okay, I'm a healer, a holistic practitioner. What does that translate to? What do you do when someone comes to you? And Michelle and I have both experienced the healing with you, and we might share a bit more about our experience later, but maybe for the listeners, what is it that you do if someone comes to you? What sort of questions do they come? And what mm-hmm. does a healing with you look like?
Mm-hmm. For example, when a person comes with stomach pain. For example, when I have 10 persons coming with stomach pain, I treat them all differently. Because the origin of the stomach pain is different with every person, almost. It's like digging a hole first and taking them on their journey back. And some people don't have memories from their early childhood, which is for me a very important red light because of suppression. Most of the time when people suppressed all their memories from early childhood, they suppressed negative emotions or negative events happened during that time. And I work with a technique to go in towards the inner landscape, and you experienced that as well. So we can also, with that technique, reprogram trauma. And if you cannot remember your childhood, how can we reprogram it? So then I send them back home and say, go get some pictures from your parents, look at them, and try to activate your memories again, and then come back. Or I just do Reiki, and the first session is about more about chilling and making people more aware about their bodies, and restore that balance again. And then afterwards, we dive deeper into the emotional traumas, and then we can, really find what is really going wrong, and why. For example, when someone wants to lose weight, it's never about what they eat. It's why they eat what they eat, and why do they still have these cravings, or don't they have self-love? And you really need to look at the youth and how parents were talking, and
it goes so much deeper than just that one question. Do you feel that most of the people that come to you, that there's an emotional trauma beneath the question that they come with to be healed by you?
Yeah, I see two kinds of people. And the first one is people like you, basically, very far in their personal development, taking responsibility for their lives, for their mind, for their soul, for their bodies. So it in one session, we can go very deep. It's also fun, right? We laughed as well. And then I have different clients who, and it's not wrong, but they are just on a different path. They come with these long lists of physical and emotional problems. And yeah, they begin their journey, let's say, coming with me after a lot went to doctors, to therapists, and they are like completely in the dark because they think they did a lot and they did so much, but actually they did not. They just did cognitive therapy, or they just did basic nutrition advice from the regular dietarian. And I don't think that you did a lot.
What is doing a lot then?
I think when you when you looked at your youth in a very brutal, radically honest way and like faced all your negative and positive emotions, and then afterwards you looked at your diet, you looked at how you are thinking on a day-to-day basis, how are your connections with your family, with your friends. And I think family is super important because we have all these so to say spiritual awakened people who are not in contact with their family and friends anymore, which I think is super weird because that's your home. It's where you come from, right? And you don't have to sit on your couch with your mother every Friday evening. That's not what I'm saying. But can the persons who bring you to this world have like an honorable place inside of you? And can you be in the same room with them even though you don't agree with how they vote or how they think? And can you still be at ease in yourself? For me, that's the work. That really is the work. Yeah. I could never move to a different country and like totally ignore where I come from.
No, that also has to do, I think, with being really connected to yourself. How is that connection for you with yourself?
I think it's a daily practice. I also lose the connection with myself from time to time when I'm triggered, or, for example, by my parents, you know, because it's the easiest one to get triggered by. And I made that to like part of my training because I tried to escape when I was 18. I moved to South Africa and did an internship there, and I was at the Cape of Hope, and I was thinking of my dad, and I was like, I shut him off. And they call that a peak experience, right? In your life where you turning point. And then I was like, oh no, I need to go back, because I actually didn't give him a chance to be a good father to me. I always was bitching on him, like, my dad, he was an alcoholic, he did not take care of me, but I also shut him off, or I wasn't open with him. So now I try to be open with him, and it's super funny. I called him like 2 months ago, and I said, Dad, I miss you. And I was super awkward, and he was super awkward as well. So he went laughing, and he didn't know what to say. And so I said, okay. So then I thought, I'd just call you, right? Yeah, yeah, okay, how are you? And then we had this conversation, and it was, in the beginning, it was super awkward, and it was not a very deep conversation or a very, yeah, spiritual conversation, not anything like that. It was just a simple, plain conversation. But that's where we are right now. And that's what I should accept and should feel into, even though maybe some days I would love to have called him and cry, or I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And does it help now? Do you feel stronger connected to yourself after that you let him in again, that you gave him a chance?
Definitely. And to feel disappointment. You can try to not have expectations. But that doesn't work for me because I have expectations. So I don't try to not have them anymore, but I just try to be with disappointment if I get disappointed. So I have all my expectations and I just let them be and I don't think about it. And then I feel, oh, I had this expectation and he doesn't meet it. Ouch. Okay. And for me, that's easier. That's way more easier to just feel pain than to try to avoid pain up front, because I think it's part of our life to feel joy and pain in the same moment. Because after that conversation, I felt joy and pain in the same moment. I think that is what spirituality is for me in one short sentence, to feel those two emotions at the same time.
Yeah.
And being okay with
and being okay with that. I was gonna say, yeah, that's a big part of it as well. And has it always felt that way to you? Like, have you, is that a recent discovery, or have you always felt that those two both need to be there and be okay with it?
I think it was for me as a child, but it's a funny anecdote. I can remember when I was young, I had this expectation about a school camp or something like that. And it wasn't fun at all. I felt very, I don't know, misunderstood and not at home, I think. So I came home and I was disappointed. And then I thought, I was 8 years old. I thought, okay, I should never...
To be excited about something.
Yeah, being excited about something up front. I should never do that anymore. Then my life would be like super easy. And then a couple of years later, I was like, this is not working for me. But I was super young at that age. But I think I was always like busy with that kind of stuff, and also found out that this is just not how it works, right? You should be excited about something, and
yeah, and being excited is half of the fun, right? To look ahead, you know, oh, I'm gonna go there, I'm gonna see this person, and I don't know. To me, that always feels like half of the fun. The period before it.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Sometimes that's even the most of the fun of the whole thing.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, especially if there's disappointment involved at one point. Yeah. Hey, and you mentioned that you know, that connection with yourself is a sort of a daily practice. How do you do that? Like, what is that daily practice? What does it consist of?
I start my day with Reiki. You guys are both initiated as well. My day just feels weird if I don't do it. And what I also do, I brush my teeth for a very long time. At first, it's super annoying to like brush your teeth. But then I found out, oh, I can like completely zone out, you know, and feel every teeth, every corner, and it takes me like 5 or sometimes 7 minutes. But it's not good for the environment to take showers for a long time. So I couldn't do that anymore. But brushing your teeth.
I think we all struggle with that. Yes.
That's like, it's good for the environment. It's good for your health. It's a win-win, I think.
I love the idea. I think we're going to try it. Why not?
Yeah, and I also train in Taoism, but it's a different practice every day, because it, in Taoism teachings, you can train your sexual energy, you can have a dream practice, you can have the body neutralization, or just physical Qigong practices. So if I were able to do that in a day, I couldn't work anymore. So I just see every day what works for me and integrate some parts of it in it.
I want to go back to the Reiki and the Taoism, you call it?
Yeah, Taoism.
Taoism. Because what is the difference between both of them?
Reiki comes from Japan and it's actually not that old. Mikao Uzui, who like reinvented it, it was in the 20th century. So that's that, and it's about energy healing, hands-on or at distance. And Taoism comes from China, and it's based on this book from the Yellow Emperor. And we think it's about 5 thousand years old. And Taoism is about, it's a whole holistic way of living, looking to health, looking to exercise, food. It's translated in the road, or the way, and it's based on the principles of yin and yang. And in Taoism, you also have a healing practice. And I think that Mikao Uzui, I don't want to say copy it, but was inspired by the Taoistic way of healing, by the Vedic way of healing. And then after a period of meditating on a mountain, he knew how to do it. He didn't have a teacher who taught him to do it like we all three had, right, with a Reiki master. So there are connections to it, but it's only the healing part. And Taoism is much broader. Like I said earlier, you can have a dream practice, or just have a physical practice, or work with the elements inside of you or around you, or do martial arts, or
I think what's interesting to know, for the listeners at least, is what it's like to experience a healing with you. So Michelle, maybe you would like to share a bit more about what your healing was like, especially because it was not one-on-one, but from a distance, or was one-on-one?
Yeah, it was one-on-one, but not in the same room. We had a meeting via Zoom, and then I just lay down, and I think sometimes I don't even remember where we started and where we ended, because it was such a dreamy experience, as in we started with a meditation, and I felt with the Reiki energy, I felt in my tummy a lot of reconstructing things. I felt, yeah, and I also really had to move to it, and I had a visualization about me going out of that space on the carpet. And it sounded weird, but I felt it and I was on that carpet. Also, I love Aladdin, so that was a good one. And then Naomi asked me to be at the place that I love the most, in the nature. And then I saw first the beach, and then she said, you're going on the river or something. And then I switched it off to another place, which one I also loved. And then I was on a boat, and then at one second, and I was my higher self, and I felt a feeling I never felt before, as in out of my body, as in really radiant and glowing, and yeah, it felt like the person I needed to be, or not needed, or the person I just was. The healing was a kind of an activation for me to really stand in my ground and being able to not being afraid to speak. And I think that was the healing for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, beautiful. Mm-hmm. How is it for you, Naomi, to do this from a distance?
I really like it.
Yeah, because I can imagine people who are listening to this podcast are like, whoa, what? You were not even in the same room? Like, how does that work?
I'm glad to hear this, Michelle. It makes me emotional as well when I listen to you. Because it's so nice when it's putting someone in its own power. Because I think that's what healing is about. Yeah, I really like it. It's because it's magic. No, it's not magic. It's like, I feel like when I was young, I thought that Harry Potter and all those kinds of stuff was real, right? So now I have proof that it's real, because I can really, you were saying, I felt this reconstruction in my belly going on, and I can feel the parts, and I'm working with it. And yeah, so it's yeah, it is magic. Yeah, back to the word. Yeah.
Is it always possible to do that with people, or do you really need an energy allowance from someone to go that deep? Or is it possible that someone can infiltrate your energy, maybe when you're really open, or
without trying to scare anyone who is listening? But I think it's possible to infiltrate. Yes, I think it is.
And I also think in this new age we are entering that it's important to teach children how to work with these kinds of energies and learning how to protect themselves. There's nothing to be afraid of, but there is so much you don't know, you can see. You actually can see it, but most of the people can't see it. So yeah, it's possible to infiltrate, but I don't think there are a lot of people doing that on a regular basis on purpose. But for example, we all know when we are talking to a friend and we're leaving the place where we went and we feel tired, right? That's when someone unconsciously infiltrated in your energy system. And that's the result, yeah, because you are basically translated, you're giving too much. You're giving away your own energy. So, and also your own happiness. And that's really important because a lot of people don't think they are good enough or they don't love themselves enough to think, I can have all this happiness for me. I can be happy even though one of my best friends sitting in front of me is not happy. Subconsciously, we try to give some of our happiness to the other person to make them feel better. And the question is, do we actually help them by that? Or are we just all ending up tired?
I think that's interesting. Also, for me with the healing is I'm a giver a lot. I can give a lot of love. And also what you said to me is that I need to take some love. As in not taking, but also accepting love. Because I don't mind giving a lot. But you said also, I can not do this work if I'm also don't receive energy from it, as in it has to be go both directions.
Yeah,
that's what I find beautiful about Reiki, that you don't necessarily give your energy away, but it flows through you.
Exactly.
And it actually charges you as a person as well.
Yeah,
I loved what you said about there's actually in this magic that we talked about, we can see it, just not everyone does. But then I'm curious, what do you see?
I shaked off the idea that people think I'm crazy because I try to trust that people who are listening to it are already interested in these kind of topics. It started when I was young with wolves. So back in my parents' house, I saw wolves. Which I got very frightened of, and then I suppressed the images. And later on, but I also think all of us can remember being young, being in your bedroom, seeing stuff, seeing light bulbs, for example, or seeing persons in the room, or we all have those things when we are little children. I give Reiki courses for children as well, from age 6 to 10, and it's super funny what they tell us. It's super funny. So yeah, I can put my hand in the fire. We all experience those things, but we just suppressed it. And then later on, I think it started to haunt me. All the images were very aggressive, so I got more scared. And now I just see them in like a 5D reality, or sometimes a little bit thicker. And it's spirits, ancestors from clients, or sometimes even, I don't know. I see the lights or like angelic figures, and I really don't know what they mean. But it's okay because they're there and they're helping and it feels good. But I don't have all the answers as well. And that's super funny to be in a space like that. For some people, where I am in my life right now is like very far out. But for me, it still feels like I'm at the beginning, that I'm still in wizard school and learning how this world works.
Yeah, but I think most people can relate to that, in the sense, if you have this bit of spiritual awakening, even if you're just at the start, I think a lot of people will recognize that. And I think as well, the more you develop in that and the more you learn, the more you figure out, oh dear, there are so many more questions to ask and so many more things to see and feel. And I recognize it as well. Of I didn't necessarily have that in my childhood that I saw things, but I could always feel things.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
I think most of the time it was okay, unless it was indeed in the dark and it would just feel a bit scary. But at other times it would feel very comforting because, I don't know, I always had the feeling that I was being protected. I still have that. I think for a long time, you know, when you're in teenage years and maybe early 20s, you're just doing other things. You know, you're growing up in a different way. But I think, yeah, the past 5-6 years, I have that feeling again, a stronger feeling of being surrounded by spirits that are actually here to guide me and help me. Not always. You know, we all lose our connection once in a while.
Great.
But why is that we're scary of it? Do you know?
I thought about it a lot. And I think this is a whole different topic. But when we talk about past lives, we all have a lot of past lives, like counting up to 80 or something. And it's super funny when you hear people talk about, yeah, I had this past life about this and about that, and I was in Cleopatra. People always make up the most brilliant stories. I was a princess and I was in this and that. But most of the time when I do past life regressions with my clients, and I do this on a daily basis, those lives we travel back to, they suck. A lot happened in past lives, I think, also on a spiritual level, which was not comforting at all. And shit went wrong, basically. You played with magic and you got yourself burned. Now we are incarnated in this age where we had this like collective awakening again, but we grew up with parents who could not assist us in these kind of things, most of us. Yeah, so I think that's one of my explanations of why we are so afraid of it. The unknown, the great unknown, yeah.
Oh, and we are in the great unknown at the moment, more than ever, I think.
Yeah.
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 How do you look at the future from here onwards?
I see a lot of people who were tired. But I hope that people can remember and look at the leaders we have right now and choose how to vote in a more constructive way. Because I think right now it's like we are in a very reactive kind of politics way. And I would love to see to see a more holistic approach. And yeah, you talk sustainability as well. So think further than just 5 months from now and how we can save this us globally, I think.
Yes, please. Yeah. And save our beautiful planet, or at least save us as a species, because Mother Earth doesn't really need saving.
Exactly.
How does sustainability play a role in your life?
I came here with a bicycle, but I still have a car, which I sometimes feel not good about, because I can travel by train far more than I do right now. So being honest about that, but I try to take care of the environment by choosing products which are not having toxins in it. And I do that already since I was 20. For I don't know what reason, I just went to Eco Plaza instead of Albert Heijn, even though all my college students in my classroom were not doing that. But for me, that's just a super simple thing to do. Not buying a lot of clothes or shoes, stuff like that. Not eating meat.
That's a big one.
Yeah, so that are basically the stuff that I do.
I think it's interesting because with the healing and everything, do you also believe that when we focus on ourselves more, that we can focus on the environment more?
I had a really interesting conversation with it about the pyramid of Maslow, that like self-radiance is at top, right? But for me, it doesn't work like that. Because when I don't have my self-radiance at my at the lowest part, it doesn't work. I lose my connection and lose my connection to the earth, and I lose my connection to recycling and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, of course, I think when we feel good, when we, for this moment at this level, heal from traumas.
In this life,
shit will always haunt you. Yeah, I think we take better care of our planet. And I had a conversation with you about that, right? Yeah, about people throwing toilet paper in nature. I was in Portugal last year and I saw all these toilet papers everywhere, near the beach and in the bushes. And it's super horrible to see, because you have all these people with RVs camping there. You are in nature. How does that work? How does that work? That you think, okay, I'm going to have a shit here, and then I throw away my toilet paper. I think that's just super weird.
I think so too. And no one enjoys the view of toilet paper in nature. So why would you do that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Super weird.
That's a good point. But it made me think, why would you do that? Because you're basically shitting on yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You. I think you feel so shit about yourself that you're not caring for someone else, for the earth, for... So that's actually it's very sad thing. It's a really sad thing.
Yeah. I think also an unaware thing of being unaware of yourself, so you cannot be aware of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I find interesting about the thing you mentioned with Portugal and having the toilet paper in nature, and what I notice with myself at least, is that sometimes when I don't feel good about myself, or, you know, I'm just in a bad mood, then I'm also tempted to not make a conscious decision, whether it's for myself or for the earth. So I think that, yeah, connection with yourself is the most important thing.
Yeah. Made me think about what this whole corona situation is teaching us, right? That because a lot of the phrase, ain't nobody got time for that. Making conscious decisions, recycling, all the stuff. People are answering those conversations with, ain't nobody got time for that. And I think that's what this teaching us. Like, why are we so busy? And we should make time for that. We should make time for
ourselves and for being more conscious of the world around us. Yeah. I love that. I think that's a beautiful one to maybe go to a bit of a rounding off as well.
Yeah.
But we do have one more question for you, one that we actually end each podcast with. And that is, what is essence to you?
Nice question. I have to think about it. I think I already said it, that it's about looking at myself or at the world and seeing or feeling all that is. So the beautiful and the hard parts, and not judging the hard or the dark or the difficult parts, but just, yeah, hold them in both hands and try to live with that. Because I think it's an illusion that there is no pain or suffering, or that's not what my life is about. I try to live fully and to live both. And I think that is my essence. Yeah.
Mm. Beautiful. Oh gosh, I think we can continue. And there's a lot of questions that come up now again. It was a blast to have you. Before we end officially, where can people find you? Because you have an awesome podcast as well, in which you discuss lovely spiritual topics.
Yeah, thank you. The podcast is called Op Zoek. You put it in the show notes, right?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
You can follow me on Instagram, have a look on my website. No, everything is my name, Naomi van Rey. So yeah, you can find me there. And the podcast is in Dutch.
Yeah, but Dutchies, please go listen to it. Amazing topics there as well. So have a listen, and thanks, Naomi. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.